I think I've got just enough time. Even though we had a baptism today, I have a little bit of something to share with you today related to the series that we started last week. If you weren't here, or in case you just have a really bad memory, we started a new series called Family Style last week, the perfect series for the imperfect family. And we just thought, you know, the timing was really good because it's Christmas time, and what's better than Christmas than for magnifying everything that isn't quite the way that you wish it were about your family? There's just something special about Christmas that brings all that up to the surface. And so we wanted to do something a little bit special, because when there's something a little off in your family, or maybe a lot of off about your family, something just has never been the way it ought to be, and you've got some unforgiveness, or you got some missing romance, or some missing care or concern, or missing affirmation, or missing all the things that can be missing that always should have been there in a family. When you've got those things going on, it can make it kind of hard to be the happy Christmas people that we all want to be when Christmas rolls around. And actually, it can make the one place that you should feel the least alone actually make you feel more alone than any other place. Isn't that the case? We talked about that last week. And so we have this new series we want to do. And I just want to bring you back to a question that I gave to you last week to ask yourselves over these past 7 days that we haven't seen each other. And the question, maybe you weren't here, but the question was, where have you been looking for the things that have been missing? And are they really doing what you hoped that they would do? All those little gaps that have been missing, all the little pieces, the nuts and bolts, the things that you wish had been different, coming up in your family or maybe in your family now, where have you been looking to make up for all those gaps? And how is it really working out for you? Interesting question. This is where the guts start to churn a little bit. I'm telling you what, if you want something to make you a little bit uncomfortable, a little abdominal discomfort, start talking about family stuff in church. Man, it's good for it, right? Well, listen, the good news is this is going to be shorter than usual, so you can just, you know, it'll be over fairly soon. I'm telling you what, you ain't preaching if you ain't making somebody uncomfortable, right? So I'm going to do a little bit of that. So whatever it is that you've been using, whatever it is, whoever it is, wherever you've gone looking for those things that family should have provided you, should be providing you right now, how's that been going? Now, you don't have to answer. Don't all jump up at once. Please don't, actually, because that could be really awkward. I mean, probably some of them are sitting right next to you. But I'm willing to bet that you were able to come up with a bunch of things about yourself that you think, there is this thing that I've done. There is this decision that I have made in the past. There is this temptation that I have in life. And it probably does stem from something that wasn't quite right. Something that I should have had all along, all these years. Something that I should have in my life, in my marriage, or in my children, or some of my brothers and sisters. Whatever it was, you can probably think of something. Probably a whole lot of somethings. Because as we said last week, we all tend to seek the first opportunity, not the best opportunity. When we start to feel a little bit alone and a little bit uncared about or unrespected or unloved or unthought of or any of those things, we tend to seek the first opportunity, not necessarily the best one. And so we all probably have a long list of things that, if I think about that, man, it probably wasn't the best decision I ever made. That relationship I got into, or that thing I started at work, or that addiction I got into, or that, you know, it probably wasn't the best thing for me to get into that, but now I can see, I can at least understand how it may have kind of started. See, you need something, and God's prescription was the family. You need to not be alone. Remember we said it was not good to be alone, right? And we didn't just agree about that. God even said it. It's not good for a person to be alone. Not good for the man I just made to be alone. There's something so off about that. Something so nasty. Something so terrible about that. It just doesn't work. It can't be. And so God's solution was this thing called the family. And here we are with families, but the problem is they're not perfect. And so what I'm going to tell you today, maybe you already know. Maybe subtly you've already picked up on this. Here's the thing, you actually need more family than just your family, especially if they're not perfect. If your family's not perfect, chances are good you're going to need more family than just your family. Now, maybe that sounds blasphemous. Maybe it's like, oh, no, that's bad. He's against families. He's against my husband and wife and children. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you are lacking some very important things that you can't really survive without, God even says you shouldn't survive without, you're going to need some kind of reinforcements. You're going to need something to shore you up. You're going to need something to come into place and strengthen you where you're weak, because if you need something and you're not having it, you're at risk. And here's something you all know. Here's something I don't have to push too hard. When we feel alone, when we are alone, we are at risk at doing some of the dumbest things imaginable. We'll take some of the goofiest risks. We'll do things that are out of character. It doesn't matter what your convictions are. It doesn't matter what you believe it should be or what you should do. It really won't matter. If you get alone enough, you will do pretty much anything to get out of that spot where you feel the pull of that aloneness. You'll do anything. You'll be with anybody. You'll take up anything. You'll spend any amount of money. It matters just a little bit based on who you are, but pretty much it's the same all across the board. We would do anything to not feel alone, because it's so what? Not good. As God said, there's something so not good about it. But I want to tell you something today that maybe you've never heard. Maybe you've never heard this in church or any other place. Oh, this is going to get good. This is going to be a little bit uncomfortable. All right. Here's the thing. Not only do you need to have more family than just your family needs you to have more family than just your family. Yeah, they do. They do. Think about this for a second. If your family is made up of imperfect people, what do those imperfect people most need from you? What do they need? They need you to love them, right? What do flawed, imperfect people, come on, Christians of the universe, what do flawed, imperfect people most need in their life? Do they need somebody to judge them? Do they need somebody to just slap them around? Do they need somebody to complain about them? Do they need somebody to nag them? What do they need? What do they most need? What have you most needed in your life up to this point? You've needed somebody to love you like Jesus loves you. Ain't that the truth? I want you to take a look with me at a verse from the Gospel of John. This is John's account of some of Jesus' last moments. John chapter 13, 34, 35. If you got your Bible device, you can pull that out. If you got an actual paper, my gosh, you could pull that out too. John 13, 34, 35. I'll put it up on the board. Listen to this. This is Jesus. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another in that way. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In other words, boys, disciples, there's something that the imperfect people of the world need like crazy. And it's this: to see and to experience people actually loving people the way I love people. The way I have loved you, the way I've loved you, the way I've come into your life, the way I have helped you, the way I have taught you, the way I have made myself a relationship with you. People need that. They need to see that and experience that. And it's by that that people will understand who you are representing. They'll know something about God. They'll know something about what I hope for their lives. They'll get something from that they can't get any other place. You've got to love people the way I have loved you. Now, some of you might be confused. I don't know. What did Jesus actually do? How did he actually do it? Well, I'm going to take you right to our laundry list. It's awesome that we have this. It comes in the letter to the Corinthians that Paul wrote. Paul wrote a laundry list in a letter about what love actually is and what it actually looks like. And this is what he said about love. You've heard it. You've heard it before somewhere. You've seen it in a bathroom, a needlepoint somewhere. Somebody hung it in a frame, okay? People give it away for marriage presents, or wedding presents, excuse me. Okay, it's probably something you've seen before, but maybe not something you've really, really thought about. Here it is. He says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So in other words, love, love, if you want to sum it all up, love is about a different bunch of different things, but it's really in the end about one thing. Love is about being patient, being able to wade through something with somebody without complaining about it. That's what that actually means. Did you know that? And bearing all things. That's very much the same kind of a thing. When you don't envy or boast, when you don't need to be arrogant or rude, you're basically saying, I don't need to emotionally manipulate people by thinking I'm better than I am or better than them or somehow that they need to come up to where I am. I don't need to do that if I really care about people. It's saying love doesn't get irritated with people over their stuff. It doesn't get resentful about how they really are on a regular basis. It doesn't do that. It says it doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. In other words, if I see my friend doing stuff, it's not good for them. It doesn't make me happy. It makes me unhappy. In fact, it even says it rejoices with the truth. And that's kind of a vague way of saying that if you have somebody you really care about, you care about them enough to confront them and say, hey, this thing that you're doing is not going to work out, I don't think. And I'm willing to risk you not liking me because I care about you so much. That's how much I care about you. I don't rejoice when you do goofy stuff. It makes me sad. Bears all things, believes all things. He's talking about not being suspicious. Hopes all things. He holds out hope for people, even when it doesn't seem like anybody should hold out hope for this person. I hold out hope for this person. I see the value in them that God put in there from the beginning, and someday it's going to come to fruition. That's what hope is about. I don't have all the time in the world to talk about everything that love is, but basically at the end of it, what we're saying here is that love, the definition of love is caring about somebody to a point it doesn't really matter what you get back. I don't need you to give me something back in order to love you. That's how much I love you. I can love you and I can show concern and I can go after your benefit. And if you don't give it back to me, that's, you know what? I can accept that because that's what love is. I don't need something right now. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You do need something from people. You do need something. You need encouragement. You need support. You need somebody to tell you when you're being dumb. You need somebody. You need somebody. But if you're needing those things from people that aren't equipped or willing or able to provide you with those things, I can tell you what's going to happen. You're going to resort to arm twisting. Can you believe that? Isn't that the silliest thing? Pastor Mike, is that not the silliest thing you've ever heard? He's like, oh, I don't know. Where's he going with this? I don't know. But I see it. But I see it. You know where I see it the most? I see it in marriages. I see it in marriages. One partner needs something. They need affirmation in their life. They need encouragement. They need somebody to be thinking of them. They need somebody to be sensitive to their needs. They need somebody to hear them and listen to them. They need somebody to help them. And they need so many things. And when one partner is just kind of like, let the games begin. Let the games begin. The emotional manipulation, the hint dropping, the nudges and the hints and the oh my gosh, the shaming, the guilting, the everything comes out. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And if you don't recognize yourself doing it, you certainly recognize when other people are doing it, don't you? Yes, you do. I see a lot. I mean, I can see the uneasiness out there. The crust is starting to break a little bit. But you know it's true. When we desperately need something from someone that we are trying to love, it's almost too much. The temptation is too great. We start to adjust our plan a little bit. It's too much for us to take. You will lose patience when the person that you've needed something from for the last 20 years still ain't giving it to you. You will seek your own. After a while, you'll wear down. You'll get a little bit rude. You'll lose your cool. You'll get angry. Over time, you'll get resentful. You'll get that bitterness. That's what Paul's talking about. Everything, all of the knots that Paul's talks about in love, you'll start to do those things. Now, should you be able to not do those things? I guess so, but you probably will. My wife and I are talking about this morning. We're like, you know what? Is that really true? I mean, and we're talking about, yeah, really, you should be able to just love somebody. And I mean, that's how love is. You're supposed to love somebody and not need something in return from them in order to love them. That's what Christian love is all about. It's what Jesus did. He put it all out on the line for us, and we can accept it or reject it. But here's the thing. We're kind of pathetic. We're kind of weak. And if you are approaching your family, your natural-born family, your people, your home people, your homies, peeps that live in your house with you, and they are going to be your sole source of all of the security emotionally and physically that you need as a human being, you're setting yourself up for a tough time because they are not perfect. They will not supply you with everything that you are meant to have as a human being. You will need something from some other place. And the big question is, where's that going to be and who's that going to be from? Because we've all tried it. I'm telling you what, anybody that's ever been in a relationship with a human being knows that the arm twisting doesn't really work. It may feel like it works a little bit. It may get you a little bit of a reaction here and there, you know, when your brother doesn't seem to notice anything you do and you keep trying to get his attention. Or your dad never really gets your attention. You never get his. And so what happens? You can all recognize when a person has not had enough affirmation in their life. What do? They boast. They brag. They try and hand themselves up all the time. It's really fun, isn't it? Really, they talk about themselves all the time, you know, because why? Because they're trying to get something out of people. They're trying to get some affirmation from people. They're trying to get a little more than what they got. When husbands are thoughtless and insensitive and totally non-romantic, or when wives are just disrespectful or just don't seem to be too impressed and don't seem to value all that the guy has put into the relationship and into their life together, things start to get a little rough, don't they? And the tactics begin. The little emotional jabs. Little bitty, just subtle sucker punches. Whack, whack, whack. Yeah, you know what? I really don't feel like you do this at all. Whack, whack, whack. Sometimes I wish you were more like this. Whack, whack, whack. Ain't it true? Yeah, I see some nods, but they're not too big because, yeah, the person right next to you. So let me offer this up to you. Could it be that your family life, your family situation, could get better if you had more family than just your family? What if you had 3, 4, 5, half a dozen people in your life voluntarily that just wanted to know you and you wanted to know them? What if you had people like that in your life that you could go to, always had a place to go, knowing that you were wanted there, always having a person to talk to, people that you could take your mask off around, That's rare. People that you can be real with, people you can talk about the past with, people that you can talk about your hopes with, people that you can talk about your current situation. What if you had people like that to come in and shore you up? Wouldn't that free you to be more like Christ in some of those relationships that are difficult? See, it's one thing when you have a couple of three people in your life that are your sole source of all the support that you have as a human being, and those people really are just kind of being like, indifferent, or they're just not capable of it, or maybe they're going through something, some mental illness or something or other. You know, that's one thing, but if you need something from those people and they're not giving it to you, that's going to put a lot of stress on your relationship. But if you have a sense of family that goes beyond just the interior of that little family unit, there's a lot of strength a person can gain. Suddenly, the person that you have difficulty with, the person you have tension with, you don't need everything that you need from that person anymore. You get some of what you need through somebody, and it better be the right somebody, and we'll come to that next week. But you get some of what you need from some somebodies, a group, a network, a sense of family that brings some strength that you can stand on. See, the only chance that your family life has of getting better and more perfect than it is if it gets a major injection of love like Christ loved you. And what better way would there be if you could gain some strength, and we'll talk about who next week, but if you could just gain some strength to be able to come into that relationship fresh and to be able to love without so much pressure to get something from that person that you've been needing, what would that be like? That's what we're going to talk about next week. How do you get what you really need? I'm going to leave you just like that, okay? So, Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, firstly, that you came to love us like you did. I mean, looking at those passages reminds me of just what kind of a love that is that you brought to people, what kind of a love that you brought into this world, and how much darker and dimmer it would be if you had not done that. I thank you for that, Lord. But also, Lord, I ask you, help us this week to sift through our lives, look into the dark little corners, the places that we've patched over time, the weak spots. Lord, bring to mind those places and those things that haven't ever been quite right, the pieces that we've needed that have been missing, the gaps. Show us where we've tried to patch those things over and not really succeeded. Show us those things today. And show us those things this week, Lord. Use friends, use conversations, use reading, use prayer, use anything at your disposal, Lord, to show us those things and uncover our need for something greater, a greater plan, a better plan. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to leave you with that. Come back next week, and we'll get into just how you do get what you really need. All right? Thanks for listening. If anybody would like prayer for anything at all today related to anything at all, I want you to come right on up front here. I'll be down here, and so will some of my prayers.